Have you been asking for a Club Rugby World Cup? I haven't. And while I'm not ready to write it off just yet, today you are going to get a front row seat as to what it is, how it's going to work, and why SARU wants this thing to happen. So the news broke last week that starting in 2028, there's going to be a new Club World Cup in rugby. Now the idea is not entirely new. If you were around in 1997, you might remember the Super 12 champion Auckland Blues played Heineken Cup champions Brive in a sort of World Club Cup championship match. Now, the fixture didn't actually have an official title, but because it was the coming together of the two champion teams, it was billed as a sort of unofficial World Club Cup. The Auckland Blues won the match fairly comfortably, 47-11 in fact. A lot has changed since then. French clubs have become significantly richer and more powerful, whereas Super Rugby teams have much smaller budgets. Now, there are plans afoot to not only revive this concept, but to create a fully blown Club World Cup. SARU CEO Riaan Oberholzer says this will force South African teams to take the competition seriously. Yes, we've had some challenges, it has to be said, particularly logistical and travel challenges. It's basically come down to our South African teams in the European Champions Cup opting to send weakened sides overseas for our away games, but play full-strength sides at home, and then see where we end up after the pool phase. A very complicated and contrived pool phase, I might add, where hardly anybody actually knows what is going on. It's not sustainable in my view, but we can talk about that in another episode. So this brand new Club World Cup will feature 16 teams, and it will be held every 4 years. Where will it take place? When will it take place? In Europe, at the end of a typical European season, over 5 consecutive weekends. So in other words, we're looking at somewhere around June. Reportedly, there will be 4 pools of 4 teams, followed by semi-finals and a final. So you would have to win your pool in order to move on to the knockout rounds. I don't have a problem with that. But this is really bizarre, guys. It will be integrated into the current Champions Cup. So let me explain this slowly, because I get that at first it makes no sense, but spoiler alert, no matter how slowly I say it or how many times I repeat it, it likely will never make sense, which is a bit of a rugby thing, isn't it? Especially when we come to administration. So the top 8 teams from the Champions Cup in that particular season will advance to the Club World Cup rather than the quarterfinals of the Champions Cup. The other 8 teams will be made up of 7 Super Rugby teams and a Japanese club. Did you get that? To give you an idea, this is what the tournament, if held today, might look like. Pool A, Bordeaux Begle, Munster, the Chiefs, and the Saitama Wild Knights. Pool B, Northampton Saints, Castres Olympique, Crusaders, and Blues. Pool C, Leinster, Glasgow Warriors, the Brumbies. I have a very, very good Australian friend who's from Canberra, and he'd be delighted to see this. And Moana Pacifica. Pool D, Toulouse, Toulon, the Hurricanes, and the Reds. Tell you what, if you've got 2 or even 3 pools there that might make legitimate claims for being unfair, well, then that's kind of exactly what you want. Pools of death. That's what makes these things great in the first place. So right there, I'm in. But you may have noticed, not a single South African franchise would be part of it. But similarly, no Major League Rugby or South American club would qualify. Not much of a World Cup then, is it? If you look at the football version of this, FIFA will host its first Club World Cup in June in the USA, in about 2.5 weeks from the day that I'm actually recording this episode. And that competition will feature clubs from every continent. Even Auckland City from New Zealand will be present. I grant you, Boca Juniors, Bayern Munich, and Benfica will almost certainly smash them to pieces. But that's part of the charm of a World Cup, especially in the pool stages. Now, the people behind it are asking questions like, who wouldn't want to find out who the greatest club in the world is? And saying things like, this has been lacking in world rugby, bringing the cream of the northern and southern hemispheres together. Now, there are, of course, real tangible positives like increased prize money and distributive TV money. In that sense, South African teams stand to benefit. And so, as Oberholzer says, take the Champions Cup seriously. But that is an oversimplification for me. The way the Champions Cup is structured within the season is what requires changing, in my view. If, for example, our franchises played a URC game away from home, and the following week were also away for a Champions Cup match, then there's no reason to send a weakened side abroad. So you want to play two, maybe three games away from home in a row. And to be fair, we kind of already do that in the URC. We don't just go overseas for one game, typically anyway. Rather than the current scenario where you might have a home game in the URC, away game in the Champions Cup the following week, and then another home URC match the week after that. So what do our teams do? We keep our, let's say, first 15s or first choice team at home for those two home games, and then that away game, which as it turns out is a Champions Cup match, sandwiched in the middle, we send a bunch of youngsters, or we send the B team, as it were. And in that sense, you might need to look at introducing rest weeks to aid the toll taken by travelling. And there are two things to say about the travelling. One, it's not that the players are travelling across multiple time zones and have their body clocks hit out of whack like we had with Super Rugby. But they do lose a day or two of training with the travelling because the flights typically stop over in Doha and in some cases Dubai. The second issue is that the players spend those long flights in economy class. I know this because I've actually been on a flight with a URC team. Now, I'm about average height for a male, 1.78 meters. But imagine guys who are 1.9 meters, 2 meters, squashed up in economy for 8 to 12 hours. It's not comfortable, and it just adds to the challenges. So there's a lot there that needs to be sorted out. And so I'm not going to write off this Club World Cup just yet, but I do wonder if it's really necessary. And to that end, is there really a demand for it? And if so, who exactly is the target audience? I mean, I support the Stormers, but if the Stormers don't qualify for it, which is probably more likely than not as I sit here and speak to you, then what is my motivation to watch or even care? But what do you think? Maybe this is the big one you've been waiting for. Or perhaps you see this as just another silly world rugby gimmick. Let me know in the comment section down below. May I encourage you to sign up for my Patreon page? If you want great benefits like Springbok merchandise, match day tickets at less than the actual SARU price, i.e. you could get them for free, Zoom Q&As with me, or you'd like me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up? You can also get your name displayed in my YouTube videos. And it starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Namibian. The reason I want your support is because I would love to do this full time. And I would also love to go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup for you in 2027 with daily content from Down Under. So if you're keen to join my dream team and support me, the link is in the description area below. In advance, thank you for your support. See you next time.